Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and thank you all for joining Waters of Everlasting Life Bible Study for this Friday night.
We are happy to have you all listening by your devices, and some of you have called in, and I always appreciate you. So tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual fathers. But before we get into the meat of our discussion, I do want to mention an announcement. I know that Minister Geneva Benford is having her grief counseling tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And she reaches out to quite a bit of people that call in and listen. And she does a dynamic job of speaking to people who have lost either husband, wife, brother, sister, or just have experienced loss. And it's a grief session. She encourages, she exhorts. She definitely spends a lot of time edifying the scriptures for you. It's a very good dinner, even though it's in the morning, on the Word of God for those that are wanting to collectively get together and commune with those others that will share stories and testimonies of various nature, either going through a grief or have made it through a grief by people that are standing with them and encouraging them and being there for them. So it's a good opportunity to network and get on there with her and just see how she is affecting the ministry, the body of Christ with her grief ministry. I do want to give you the number if you want to call in the morning at 10 o'clock, and that is our time central. The number to call tomorrow, and I will repeat it at the end of this Bible study for those who don't have a pen or pencil. The number to call is 720-740-9792. The code to get into that session is 715-3685. And I will repeat that again at the end of the show. I definitely want to say hello to my family. I know I had some people text me. They're on the road traveling. So I'm wishing them a safe travel. And I've got a few others on. Hey, family.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, sis?
Wonderful. Y'all ready for the word?
We ready for the word.
Ready for the fire.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Elder Sean, I hear you loud and clear. All right. We want to definitely go ahead and get into the Word of God this evening. I know we got some others that are signing on, and I thank you all. The Word of God, before we get into it, I definitely want to definitely lead us into prayer. It's been a really long week, and we've had a lot going on. I know Minister Geneva gave me quite a few people, a few people that had passed, and she has a funeral tomorrow. So we're in prayer for the Benford family and the Rice family tomorrow. We have quite a few on our prayer list here with our ministry that's going through a lot. So definitely want to be mindful of what our prayer list consists of. Most of you that call in and talk with me or text me, most of you know who we're praying for. I don't want to give all that online, of course. So we're standing in the gap this week, and we are fasting and praying the weekend, and we're just holding all these saints up in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, because in him and with him, in these trials and tribulations, when we put them before him, we know he is well able. So we don't want to limit God and put him in a box, no matter how serious and dire circumstances are, God. We know that you are well able. So we come to you this evening on Friday as we're communing with the saints of God who have come to sit at your table tonight to get a word from you, not from me, a word from you, Father. So we're asking that you be in the midst with us, that you sup with us, Lord, and sit with us, Lord, and share your wisdom with us, Lord. Elucidate the word, God. Illuminate it, Lord. Break down the scriptures rightly divided through my mouth, God. Speak to your people in this hour that need to hear a word from you, an encouraging word from you, Lord, as you exhort in who you are through these scriptures, God, that you would stand with us, Lord, in these tough and trying times. Because, Lord, we know with you there is victory on every corner, God. With you, everything is possible, Lord. So we want to have faith in all of our circumstances because we know without it, it is impossible to please you, because we know we must come to you and know that you are God and that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. We are seeking you tonight.
We are asking that you partake with us and that you impart through us, Lord, and that you bless us, Lord, and keep us safe, Lord, throughout each day, Lord, until we come again next Friday to commune with one another. We thank you for all you have done and will do in advance. We see those things, though they be not, Lord, as if they are. We claim it, Lord, because that is part of our inheritance that you have given us and that you died for us to have. We bless you in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, and we thank you. Amen and amen. We're going to be talking about spiritual fathers tonight. I'm excited about the Word of God tonight. It's very empowering to the spirit as we think about being on the vine so that we can get the full flow of the anointing of the Father. You know, when the Lord sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, it was in line with everything he had been doing in the beginning. Because you will see me jump back and forth from where I'll start. So you will see that there is an alignment. There is a structure that God operates through with the male head. As we look at the relationship this evening with fathers and in our topic tonight with spiritual fathers, because the Lord is a spirit, and he says those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The nature of God's spirit is profound. I'm always, just as you are, discovering new aspects to his anointing and to his revelation knowledge. The spirit of God is profound. Everything we do daily, it can be, if we let it, we can align it with him in our lives so that our steps are ordered, right? If we commit everything we do to him so he can order our steps, everything falls in place. This evening, a great lesson is on how we are to be teachers, builders to produce and multiply the souls in the kingdom, to expand the kingdom. That is the essence of tonight's Bible study on spiritual fathers. If you all look around you today, absence of men in our churches to be spiritual fathers and in the household as fathers who are great teachers is staggering. Now, a biological father can be your spiritual father also. He can be both. Today we don't see that as much, but the father in the household, he teaches his children. And we should exhort that when you see a good father teaching the household. But spiritual fathers, which is the subject tonight, they impart spiritual wisdom. Father is connected to the Heavenly Father who grooms him in the ways of his precept. The two can be one. Your biological father can be your spiritual father. But in, like I said, today's time, we don't see a lot of that. I wish we did, but it can happen. So we want to look at spiritual fathers. This is not what I would call a comprehensive Bible study, because I'm not going to just name every single spiritual father in the Bible, of course. But I want to go briefly into the cornerstone of what we're talking about tonight by the first scripture I gave everybody, which is 1 Corinthians. It's in chapter 4. Now, I did give everybody verse 13 through 21, and you know, y'all have gotten used to me doing that now. But I do have to do the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, which will take me a few minutes to get to the nut, basically, and the centerpiece of what we're talking about. So we won't leave any gaps in comprehending what's really going on when Paul is talking about spiritual fatherhood. So in 1 Corinthians, if you grab your Bible, you want to look in chapter 4, we're going to start there. It says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Meaning the apostles are traveling to and fro, just as Jesus instructed them to do, without an inscripted purse, and they're living a hard life. And then Paul says, and labor working with our own hands, being reveled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with the rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? So what would you have him do? What would you have the saints do? Come to you in love or with a rod? Paul starts off this chapter in chapter 4 saying, being ministers of God, of the mystery of God. This is key to understanding what the spiritual fathers are. They are ministers of God, and they are stewards of the mysteries of God, meaning you get into the scriptures and you divide what is going on in there, like in the book of Revelation. You deeply dig into that and try to understand and correlate scriptures to understand the mysteries of God. This is what ministers do. And he emphasizes as ministers that we must all be faithful. Furthermore, when he describes the apostles, he states we are fools for Christ. And if some of you online tonight can agree, being foolish for Christ, but we are wise, weak but not. When he says weak, he doesn't mean you walk over them. But when he says weak spiritual fathers are going to have the demeanor of going beyond the call of duty and appearing foolish to some. How many of you know in this walk, sometimes you do things and people will look at you like you have lost your mind. But because you love God so much, you don't pay that any attention because you know why you're doing it and you know who you're doing it for. God's ways are higher. When we're talking about spiritual fathers and in Paul's case, an apostle, he states he's meek, but he appears weak, but he's strong. Paul says he's telling this now, as I read it to you all, he's telling them all about these things, not to scare them or anything or to shame them of how the walk with God is as a spiritual son of Christ, telling them to warn them. How many of you know when you became saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you became persecuted, you became targeted, became ridiculed, you became told, oh, you think you're more, you think you're better, what's wrong with you now? You can't hang out with us, you can't do these things with us. What does Paul mean when he says, I've begotten you through the gospel, when he's telling the followers there, I have begotten you through the gospel? If you look at the cross reference there, it gives you Acts 18 and 11. And this is dealing with Apollos, who was mighty in the scriptures, it says, and he believed in Christ, but he needed more teaching. So Aquila and Priscilla in that cross reference, so Apollos teaching boldly in the synagogue and wanted to bring him to Paul, because they said Apollos was very intellectual. But they saw him preaching in the synagogues, and they think, well, we need to bring him to Paul, to bring him to where we all are, so he can be with us. This is how spiritual fathers take you in and teach you to rightly divide the word of God. They see a gift on you, but it's not perfected. They see an anointing on you, but it hasn't reached a peak. It still is a little bit lackluster. A spiritual father sees the potential of where you can be. They don't keep looking at how shortcoming you are. They look at what you have, and they desire to impart to you something else so that you can work with what you got, but it will expound upon itself. It will expand. So that's why they brought Apollos to the group. So when Paul says, I've begotten you all through the gospel, that's just one situation of how he had one person come into the fold. He had many come by that way. Just like when Jesus is walking, how you think he got the 70? They were intrigued and they were inspired, Holy Ghost, to come and be convicted to go. And that's why they call Jesus Rabbi now, Father. So these things is why Timothy is called a son of Paul. If you're in your Bible and you're looking in the New Testament, you see an epistle to Titus. You see an epistle 1 and 2 to Timothy, because they were sons of Paul. Now, Paul had many sons and daughters. When you're reading the different epistles he wrote, which tally up to about 14, well, it is 14. Hebrews is a little debated, but the language of Hebrews is very close to Galatians and Corinthians and Romans and all of them. Paul tells us that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In this chapter we just read, he said it's not in word, but it's in power. You know how some people speak a lot, they talk a lot, they know all the scriptures, they can quote the Bible frontward and backward. There ain't no power. The word of God, it's got some power in it. Now, if the anointing comes with it, spiritual fathers ought to have some power. Now, because Paul had already had the Holy Ghost fall upon him, and he had received power, as it says, it is these things Paul is imparting as a spiritual father. I want you all to really think about a spiritual father in your life. And impartation is a whole lot different. As I was saying earlier, telling you the difference between your father at home and your spiritual father in the church, and they can be the same thing in one person. But a spiritual father gives impartations, and it's powerful. When you're sharpening your iron on iron, or if you're copper at some point in your stage of development, you're going to eventually start mingling, if you desire to, with someone who knows more than you, so you can sharpen and become stronger in your faith, in your anointing, and in your power. The spiritual fathers, that is people who lead by example. The impartation of power and anointing is all throughout the scriptures when we look at spiritual fathers. Whenever you have a spiritual father, you gain anointing from them. If you're not gaining anointing or being cultivated in your gift, there's something lacking there in that relationship. So I would have to say, I don't know if that's a good spiritual father if you're claiming one. Fathers want children to multiply. They want them to do better. Our Father put us here to multiply. And this order of father and son is seen again and again throughout the entire Bible as a cord that runs through it. The Lord is building his church through spiritual fathers. If we look at back at the scripture I gave you on Romans 4:16, that's a good time to bring that in. Abraham is the subject and the topic here, because it says that Abraham was accounted unto righteousness for what he believed of God, right? It tells you that in the beginning of chapter 4. He believed God that he was going to be the father of nations now. Now, when we look at Romans 4:16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Because as you read father down there, it says, the reason that piece is there, call things so they be not as though they were. Abraham had such faith. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And it tells us that in this particular narrative, Abraham believed when there was no hope that possible carnally, that he was going to be a father of nations. He was an old man, and Sarah was an old woman. But he believed God. He hoped against it. It says, even though his own body now dead. This is such an inspiration to us to understand that heaven is not the way heaven is organized, the way heaven operates. We must believe God, because the vision through heaven, the faith now, the faith, the eyes of faith, yeah, can equate with our little eyes in our flesh. That's what's so important to understand as saints. So Abraham is the father of nations, and he believed it. He believed it, even though there was no evidence of it, that hope. Abraham is the father of us all. And his faith that he demonstrated in many situations, from the promise of Sarah having a child of her own, he believed it. From when he had to take his own son up to Mount Moriah, and there was a ram in the bush, the faith of Abraham sustains us believers when we get into the scriptures and start in Genesis reading Abraham's whole odyssey from when he's called out from among his father in Ur. And he goes out on faith. And he does become the father of nations. The faith of Abraham is a spiritual transference to our generation. When we read these scriptures, it's a spiritual transference of power that incites us as children that are grafted onto the vine and part of the Abrahamic covenant, that makes him a spiritual father to us because he leads by example. And spiritual fathers lead by example. They usually have been through the fire and the muck. They have been on the potter's wheel, and they are able to lead by example because they have been there. Abraham is the very epitome of spiritual fathers, impartations, growing and multiplying, because he did become a father of a nation. He is a father of these nations. When you look at his son Isaac, who later blessed Jacob, Jacob begat 12 sons, and that's where the power lies in this order, through the sons. And they were spiritual fathers. Remember, Jacob took 70 souls down to Egypt. 70. Remember when Jacob was going to bless Ephraim and Manasseh? It's in Genesis 48 when he's going to bless them. Here you see an impartation. I'm talking about fathers and sons, but this is grandfather and grandson. Here you see basically an impartation, which is different from the actual teachings of Paul being a father, grooming people, grooming Paulos and Priscilla and Aquila and all of them. But here you see a repetition of what goes on in the Old Testament when they're laying on hands and blessing their children, as Jacob did his 12, as Isaac did Jacob instead of Esau, as Abraham blessed Isaac. They always lay their right hand on top of that son, who, and it's usually the eldest one. So what we see here, the actual teachings are different than what I'm talking about with Paul as a spiritual father grooming him. But you still see here a transference of power, not necessarily a mantle, but a blessing that the fathers did to their sons. And in within the same way, there's a spiritual connection, father to father, father to son, rather. The key information in this narrative, when you look at Genesis 48, that I want you to get, the key information in this narrative is when Joseph tells Jacob that Manasseh is the oldest, and he's pushing Manasseh toward that right hand because he doesn't understand why his father is got his right hand on Ephraim for the blessing. The right hand is the powerful portion of blessing saints. But Jacob says, I know, son. Manasseh, he says, will also become a people, and he also shall be great. But his brother Ephraim will be greater, and he and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. Again, the idea of multiplicity, the idea of growth, building exponentially. Again, spiritual fathers are here to nurture sons that will go out and accomplish more than what the father can do alone. Get me? Because our father has ministers and apostles and prophets and evangelists, a fivefold ministry out here, teachers, to go out here and do in the body of Christ great and greater works. And that is why Jesus had 12 disciples dispatching them, and then he went up to 70, just like Jacob going into Egypt with 70 souls. But he had 12 sons. Interesting. Jesus had 12 disciples. Yeah. So Jesus had 70 that he sent out, two by two, because this was the way to extend the gospel, to preach the gospel, by being a father spiritually to these men who were disciples. Abraham, as the father of nations, is a profound vast of knowledge. If you get into it, it's so much in there. You can immerse in this power. God's order with the father and son is seen when Moses anoints Aaron and his sons to take up the tabernacle. The priest in the tabernacle, the whole order of being a priest in the tabernacles now, goes from father to son. That's how the Levi brotherhood, priesthood, is organized It goes from father to son. So as you see Moses being instructed by the Lord to bless Aaron and his sons and to anoint them with oil, there's a transference of spiritual power in this whole thing so that the kingdom can be exponentially growing. It is the way the Lord arranged it, father and son. They were steeped in God's spirit, and Moses had anointed them and blessed them as God had said. Yet, the mantle of what Moses had went to, of course, we discussed this weeks ago, went to Joshua, who was actually Moses' spiritual son. You know, you can have a whole lot of spiritual sons and be close to one or two. So Joshua, of course, was charged to get him to the promised land. A spiritual father can have many, many sons. But I want to say, I do have to say that I want you to think about the multiplicity that Paul had. Paul had many sons. But Timothy and Titus, as I mentioned earlier, were the two he was the closest to, because you can see that by him writing epistles to them. And it doesn't mean he thought of any of the other ones any less. And you can have a closer relationship because someone's going to take your mantle, and that's the way it goes, father to son. Elijah also had many prophets under him, prophet son. Elijah, you know, they had schools of prophets because they were teaching these sons. They were mentoring to them, passing down spiritual impartation and wisdom. And Elijah, he had many sons. And it says it in 2 Kings 2 and 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. So that piece of scripture, I'm using that there to show you that Elijah had a host of prophets that followed him and listened to him, and that he basically was a spiritual father to and taught. But the closest one he was to was Elisha, and that's why Elisha got that mantle. So again, Elijah, many sons. He taught many. And that is the goal of God for his spiritual fathers, ministers that are teaching and bringing up people, to have an investment in the ones they're teaching so they can yield a return. Now, you know, in the book of Revelation, it speaks of witnesses, right? So when we talk about Elijah having teaching sons, sometimes, you know, you get in the book of Revelation and there's questions there. There's many questions. But people are always debating about which two witnesses are coming back, you know, in the book of Revelation chapter 11. Who are these two witnesses? Some are saying Enoch and Moses. And Enoch, well, basically the toss-up is between, is it Enoch or Moses? But everyone is quite certain Elijah is in the midst of the two coming back. I'm leaning more to the fact that, well, not the fact, but I'm leaning more to the discourse and the evidence by many scholars that the two witnesses will be Enoch, because Enoch didn't die. He went up. He was called up. And, of course, Elijah went up with the chariot. Moses naturally died. But some are saying because of the, if you read in Revelation, some of the miracles that's going to be transpiring when you read Revelation 11. Some of those same miracles Moses did. But the reason Elijah is coming back, the reason he's returning, because he did have many, the reason he's returning is evident in Malachi 4 and 5. When the Lord says, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. See, Elijah coming back to turn the hearts of children to their fathers. We've got to have spiritual fathers who are teaching the children the godly way. We are seeing so much crime, so many symptomatic things go on around us. Structure God intended has been broken, has gaps in it, is misaligned, disjointed, whatever you want to call it. It's missing the spiritual fathers. Elijah is going to come back to bring back the hearts of the children to their fathers. And that is a purpose that's going to be magnificent. Spiritual fathers are here to empower. And I don't want to leave women out. And I know there's some of us thinking, okay, well, what about the women? What is our role in this? Spiritual mothers of the church are very powerful, and they are here to empower. They teach the daughters spiritually. And, Lord, we definitely need more mothers in the church that are there to offer wisdom, that are there to teach the daughters spiritually. The daughters of Christ are rising high in anointing in this season to expand the kingdom. They are being given mantles. They are getting apostolic anointing. Acts 2 and 17, the Lord says, and I, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So the Lord is pouring his spirit out, again, spirit, because our spiritual heavenly Father wants us to have him dwelling deep inside of us so that we can do greater works that the Lord Jesus said that we would do, which is what we're here to do, is to be an example for people that need the Lord and live holy and be a representative of his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, trying to perfect the spirit of Christ within our walk every day, is deeply in his spiritual fathers and mothers. But the father and the son dynamic is critical in the church body. The father and son dynamic, I must say, is critical in the church body. The seed of Abraham will accomplish what God said it would through the father and the son relationship. When you see fathers and sons in churches moving together, working together in harmony, leading the church, because it's gotten so scarce, it's such a wonderful thing to behold, especially if they're living right and living holy. You just feel the peace of God because that's the way it's supposed to be. And I always say it's always wonderful to see a woman filled with the Holy Ghost that can take charge and lead if she has to, lead when the Lord needs her to. But the father and son dynamic in the church, the father and daughter dynamic in the church is awesome. God is good. Now, when your days are fulfilled, that's what the Lord told David, because I want you to think about this as I close up out of here. The Lord says to David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. It is why David, through his son Solomon, helped build the temple to expand the kingdom. The sons of the father take what the father has imparted to him, and he amplifies it. That is why you see the parable of the talents. Because when God put talents in your hand, you just don't go bury it in the dirt and bring him back the very talent he gave you. He wants to see you multiply that. He wants to see you use it wisely so that it amplifies. So David is a father figure in the Bible spiritually, because as he extended his kingdom, he imparted to Solomon, who had twice, way more than twice, as much as David did. But it was all to build the temple, to have a place of worship. And Solomon's house became a spiritual order. It became a house for God, people. But David had a lot to do with it. David, the Lord Jesus came up through David's line, spiritual fathers. Who is your spiritual father? Who is he? Who imparted to you? Who nurtured your mindset and taught you? And there are people today that don't have spiritual fathers. I know I was reading a testimony of one of the most spiritually dynamic men that led a high revival, thousands and thousands of followers. And he was saying that, how dare people shortchange the women in ministry? He came up under a dynamic woman of God in his church. She was a fierce commander and taught him many things and imparted to him. And he's friends with Perry Stone in their ministry. He had a huge church, many churches that he started, and that's why he was a spiritual father to many, because he went everywhere building churches just like Paul. I met my spiritual father in Jasper, Alabama, over 10 years ago. God sent him to me. He is the best friend I've ever had. He has walked with me through fire. He has been a teacher to me, and I love him. Nothing can come between my love for Pastor Marshbanks. He's always been there for me. As a spiritual father, he has empowered me to go forth in kingdom mandate. That is what we have been talking about this evening. Having someone who goes beyond the call of duty, that's there morning, noon, and night, just like your regular father would be, but they are guiding your light, helping you shine your light, helping you maximize your light, helping you to understand who you are as an overcomer, helping you to rightly divide the scriptures of God so that your godly walk is truly and purely godly. I remember as we closed, I was between 11 and 12 when we were starting to really go to church. And I used to watch my pastor, Reverend Stewart. He always spent time with us. He spent time with his flock. Granted, we weren't a huge church, and probably anywhere between 30 to 40 on a regular Sunday. But we had so many children there, and he literally drove from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Pulaski every Sunday. I'm thinking that's about a three-hour drive one way, but a long drive. And he spent time with us as a spiritual father. When we needed that the most, it can never be forgotten in my mind. I know my brothers and my mom appreciated how Reverend Stewart was such a spiritual man of God, went way beyond the call of duty, really helped the seeds that was in us through adversity not get choked out. He was a great pastor. Reverend Stewart planted many seeds in all of us as spiritual fathers. And you don't see many men like him at all today. All of us had him in our youth as a spiritual father. Just as Paul, Corinthians, a spiritual father has faith, he is foolish for Christ. He is weak but strong. He is wise. All things describe Reverend Archibald Stewart, who was my pastor, my family's pastor when we were young. Those things, he was a man of faith. He was foolish for Christ. He did many things for the church body. Spent a lot of time with Charles McElroy, and I remember Charles used to sit with him and have his Bible out after church is over. And for years, I just saw Charles just really following up behind Reverend Stewart. So it was no surprise when Charles was called to pastor, and Charles is a pastor. Spiritual fathers, the church is crying for pastors who will spend time with their flock and nurture them. The church body, the body of Christ, is calling for men to spend time with these young men out here who would rather join gangs, who would rather wear their breeches past their knees, almost in the store about to fall out. The body of Christ is yearning for more men to step up and be spiritual fathers. So I want to leave you with that, because God is moving in this hour to restore this title, the spiritual fathers, in the church. He is moving to do such things. And we thank the Lord for him doing that. Amen.
Family, any comments tonight?
I enjoyed everything. I really did. And good to have a spiritual father. And
yes.
Just thank God for you all, for you and everything. And I'll let Monday I'll say something. I enjoyed everything.
Okay, good.
I enjoyed everything, Minister Bowman, as usual. I learn more and more every time from you, and it makes me stronger. And I've had a pretty good week telling others of Christ and what he's done for me and letting them know that there's still hope and that Christ never gives up on you and never put yourself down because you have a mental illness. That's what I always tell. Because Christ can do anything but fail.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Minister Bowman, spiritual fathers, man, you kind of like stole some of my stuff, man. When you was talking, I said, man, I'm going to say something about Reverend Stewart because that's who popped in my mind. And as you was getting ready to close, I said, she ain't said nothing about him yet. I said, so, hey, I got plenty to say. But you ate up all of the food, man. I said, well, everything she said was dead on. It was just, it was perfect. Reverend Stewart, he was a man. His nays was nay. His yeas was nay. And if something went wrong in the church, it's like you knew it was already solved. You knew it was in God's hands, but he was there as the physical man. And it's like once you knew there was a problem, once you told Reverend Stewart, you knew that it was done. He didn't ever freak out. He never did look panicked. He always looked like, I got this. And he did. I remember taking us all the way to Dallas, Texas by driving. Didn't mind at all. I mean, like you said, his long driveways all the time, always, I mean, just great with the spirit, and he shared what he knew. And I love that, and I passed some of that on to my stepkids and my son. And so, I mean, I just wish that Reverend Stewart knew some well. He knows he has a lot of folks. I'm just one of them, but I'm very proud of this Sunday school lesson, my Sunday school lesson, the Bible study. I enjoyed it. You did a great job. And once again, I love you, and I love the lesson. Thanks again.
Man. All right. You were speaking like an auction because we got cut off last week. But
oh, yeah, I had to hurry on up.
Yeah. Reverend Stewart was a man you don't see much of that today. I don't know if this is Miss Josephine Gordon on with us tonight. Who am I speaking with at 384-7649? Mother Josephine, is that you? Okay. Well, I know we got somebody on from Pulaski. We usually have quite a bit of you all, but we do want to get out of here before our time is up. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight and joining us. I know we got quite a few from my work pals on different devices here. And I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight on for Waters of Everlasting Life. We'll get out of here with prayer.
We love you all. We thank you all for listening. We thank the subscribers that subscribe that are listening later on. I appreciate you all for being a part of our Bible study on Friday night. We hope we've said something to encourage you to be in your word, to be protected and covered, definitely, under some good, godly anointing. Lord, we thank you just for the opportunity to commune with one another, to have sisters in Christ and brothers in Christ and fathers who are leading, that are going beyond the call of duty, that are being the exceptional ones that you have called, and they answered, and they put their hands on the plow and did not look back, God. We thank you for all that you're doing in this ministry and who you're doing it through. There are many, and they are rising up to the challenge of the day to be those that will answer the call and stay on the battlefield. And I thank those that are consistently a part of this ministry through donations, through listening, through good exhortation, through whatever they feel is necessary to bring hope to the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for pouring your spirit on us and empowering us in this hour. And may we, Lord, continue to do your good works with you girding us and protecting us, Lord. Hear us in our prayers this week, Lord, and this morning and tonight, God. Hear us, Jesus, as we petition you. And we thank you, Lord. We love you for sending your son, Jesus, who died for us, God. We can't thank you enough. We love you, Lord. And listen, Jesus, your son's name, we pray. And we thank you and call out to you. Amen and amen. You all have a good night now.